Broadcasting live from beautiful, historic Marion, Ohio, it's Now with Scott Spears. Call Scott live on the air anytime at 740-383-9944. No topic is too big or too small. I'm your announcer, the man with the golden voice, Ted Williams. And now, here's your host, Scott Spears.
Thank you, man with the golden voice, Ted Williams. Scott Spears coming at you here on a Tuesday morning. Tuesday, September the 12th, 2023, 14 minutes past the hour. 63 degrees and heavy rain is the report that I'm looking at. So a little warmer than yesterday morning, but a dreary, dreary morning nonetheless here in Central Ohio. Well, got a lot to talk about here this morning. The first thing I want to talk about is something kind of cool that happened yesterday. I came home yesterday and there was a box on my doorstep. And we do this every year on the station. I don't know how many years we've done this now, but we always talk to and about the Old Farmer's Almanac, the best predictor of the weather for the upcoming year. And on my doorstep yesterday, there was a box full of the brand spanking new 2024 Old Farmer's Almanac, which you can get in stores, by the way. But it has all the weather data and stories and tips that are in the Old Farmer's Almanac each and every year. It's just a great, great book. The cover has never changed. It's the Old Farmer's Almanac, 2024 Almanac. Robert B. Thomas, founded in 1792, weather forecasts for 18 regions of the United States, sun, moon, stars, and planets. The original Farmer's Almanac, useful with a pleasant degree of humor. And I have my copy now. And we have some copies that we are going to give away on the station, I believe, starting tomorrow morning. So you'll have to tune in tomorrow morning if you'd like to get a copy of the Old Farmer's Almanac. And I believe these things retail at about $9 now. $8.99 is what they're retailing for. So we'll be giving some copies away starting tomorrow morning, I believe, on the station. So I was happy to see those show up. And if you want a copy, so tune in tomorrow. If you're interested in that sort of thing, the weather, funny stories, gardening tips, things of that nature, that'll all be available starting tomorrow morning. We had a little bit of trouble signing on this morning. You know, technology is not always perfect. And for some reason, for those of you who started listening at about 8 o'clock or before this morning, I don't know what the connection issue was this morning. We got it ironed out, thank goodness. And hopefully you're hearing everything okay right now. But having some kind of connection issue this morning. Who knows what it was, but I'm glad we're up and running because we've got an important morning here. Going to go through some things here very quickly from yesterday before we get to today's news because we do have big news here today. Kevin, one of our listeners over the weekend, sent us a picture of the old certified station on Main Street. There by Boyd Funeral Home. Now, there is a sign in the window now that says Busy Bee Convenience Store coming soon. So I guess the Busy Bee Convenience Store will be coming soon to the certified location, former certified location, on Main Street there by Boyd Funeral Home. Also, we talked to, and I'm not even sure to this day what we're supposed to specifically call them. I don't know if they're islands. I don't know if they're traffic hazards. I don't know exactly what those things are. But the new things that have been put in on Delaware Avenue, in the middle of the road, outside of Wendy's, outside of Arby's, and outside of McDonald's on Delaware Avenue, to redirect traffic so you can't go in one direction. I don't know. Very difficult things. They are a little bit confusing, I think, for a lot of people. I don't know how that's going to turn out when the weather goes bad. But the islands are still there, so we can talk about that this morning. If you have anything to say or any information in regard to the Busy Bee Convenience Store or the islands on Delaware Avenue, feel free to give me a buzz here, 740-751-4038. Also, we were talking about the Friday night show last week. Had a lot of fun with that particular program. Hope everybody enjoyed it. We'll do it again this Friday. Fridays, from top to bottom, are a lot of fun on this station, just like every other day. But Friday just has a lot of programming. We kick off the morning on Friday with Sean and myself from 8:15 to 9. Pastor Whitaker, 9:15 to 10. Sean, Matt, and myself from 10:15 until 11. And then we have Pastor Craig from 11:15 to 12. And then Pastor Craig, Matt Morgan, Sean Kraft, and myself from 12:15 until 1. And then Friday night, 8:15 until 10 p.m., we have Carrington Nelson, Matt Morgan, Sean Kraft, and myself. Now, the Friday night show is becoming interesting because as we head into the fall, the autumn, in 9 days, it gets dark earlier. And the weather is also a little cooler than it is in the summer. In the summer, people are still out doing things at 8 o'clock at night on a Friday night. As it gets cooler and as it gets darker, maybe not so much. So the Friday night show is picking up a lot of momentum, and I appreciate everybody who listens to that and calls in on Friday night. And as I said yesterday, basically the point of that show is not to do politics, not to do current events, just kind of have a good time, do more entertainment-based things. Now, a lot of the things on that show do seem to fall around relationships. Now, I think that's partially because we've got a 19-year-old and a 22-year-old on the show. But relationships are fascinating because all through our life, we're bound in relationships. We're bound in relationships with other people. We're bound in relationships with friends. We're bound in relationships with family members. And sometimes those relationships are not always as easy as maybe we would like them to be. So, if you have any thoughts on the Friday night show, give me a buzz. Friday night show, the islands on Delaware Avenue, do you like them? And the possible Busy Bee convenience store, which is going to be here apparently soon in the old certified location on Main Street. Phone lines are open, 740-751-4038. That's 740-751-4038. Now, we also had a taping last week, and as I said yesterday, we did not have a whole lot of time to talk about it last week because I was not on Thursday morning. And Friday morning, we have a lot of programming, which I did not get a whole lot of time to talk about the Friday night or Wednesday night taping last week. And by the way, if you go to YouTube and search Scott Spears Exchange, you'll see that taping there. But we finally got Matt and Carrington and Abby all together, and it just could not have been a better taping. And hopefully we'll be able to do that again this week, and hopefully every week thereafter, because to me, that's the right group to have. It's two women, two men, two of which are 19, 20-year-old, and two of which are a little older than 19 and 20 years old. So it's fascinating to get people's opinion. And the truth of the matter is, perspective is everything. I will tell you that depending on your age and stage, there is a big, big perspective difference. Depending on your gender, there is a big perspective difference. And we certainly have learned that on Friday night and during that taping last week. Although, well, I guess this really fits in with what I'm saying. Something very funny to me is that after the show last week, and I don't really think either one of them knows that it was done, but after the show last week, I got a message from Abby, because none of those people had ever met. Abby had never met Matt. Matt had never met Abby. Carrington had never met Abby. Abby had never met Carrington. So after the show was over, I got a message from Abby, and she was just saying something very complimentary toward Carrington. And then when I saw Carrington again on Friday night, two nights later, she said something very complimentary toward Abby. Now, what's funny about that is that those are the two women on the panel. Now, there were two men on the panel, and, you know, there was nothing really complimentary said. I think somebody did say, I like this, or I had fun, you know, that sort of thing. Kind of a blanket statement. But it's fascinating in a way that the women share similar opinions, which, again, speaks to that whole gender thing. Now, that would not have anything to do with age, because obviously Abby and Carrington, there's an age difference there. But yet, I think that's just a female thing. Because neither one knows that the other one said what they said, yet they both kind of said pretty much the same thing. Now, how often does that happen in life? Where basically they pretty much say the same thing about each other. Now, see, I don't know if that's just a norm that women go through, but maybe. We'll see what happens this week. We'll see if we can get it together again this week. I know a lot of people are enjoying it on YouTube, hearing a lot of feedback about it. As I said yesterday, somebody came up to me in the line at the grocery store and wanted to know how to see it. Because they had ran into Carrington, and I guess they recognized her from some of the promotion we do on social media. So they were interested in watching the episode. So it is a very popular episode, and we're happy to hear that. And again, you can get it on YouTube by going to The Exchange Scott Spears, and the picture's right there, and you can enjoy it. All right, before I move on to the next topic, if there's anything on your mind this morning or you'd like to say anything about the topics we've already discussed, give me a buzz here, 740-751-4038. That's 740-751-4038. Now, I'll tell you something about why that show worked so well last week. Everybody argued with everybody, and it wasn't big arguments, and it certainly was nothing personal. But it was, you know, when everybody agrees, it's not a great show because we like to show the diversity of opinions. So when everybody agrees, that can be a little cumbersome. But that show, nobody had any problems disagreeing with anybody else. So that's what made it, I think, entertaining. And I think everybody was honest in what they were stating their opinions about, which also is very, very important. So I think that helps with what's going on Friday. When we have done those shows in the past, but I could say the same thing about the Friday afternoon show, by the way, as well, with Matt and Pastor Craig and Sean. Clearly on that show, nobody has a problem giving their opinion either, and I certainly do appreciate that. But I think in the past we've had people who either agreed with each other all the time or did not want to rock the boat, or maybe there was somebody on the panel they did not want to offend, so they would not disagree with them. I think that was going on to some degree, and when that happens, it's not all that entertaining of a show, because it's just, okay, yes, we all agree on that, let's move on. People have diverse opinions, and you want diverse opinions, so we'll take diverse opinions in the programming we have now on the station. And as I say, Friday is always fun because we get a lot of people here at the station that day, Pastor Whitaker, Sean, Matt, Carrington, Pastor Craig, and we just have a good time. So here's to Friday, which is not too far off. It's already Tuesday. Now, again, phone lines are open, 740-751-4038. Now, to move on to what I did last night, this is going to be, here's what I observed last night. Matt Morgan wanted to go to a city council meeting. And I had not been to a city council meeting in probably a year. It'd probably been a year since I'd been to one. So I went to the city council meeting with him last night. And I'm going to talk about the agenda here in a second. Now, the first thing I want to talk about is I did learn that the pay raises for mayor, auditor, and the law director have been put off until December 11th, after the election. So there'll be no more talk about raising those wages until December 11th, until the election is over. The election happens the first Tuesday in November. But it will be on the docket. I believe it's December the 11th. So we do know that for sure. The pay raises have been put off till December. Now, here's what we learned last night. It had nothing to do with the pay raises. At one point during the meeting last night, somebody from the Board of Elections stood up. And I'll tell you where this conversation started. The conversation started because one of the council members had asked if early voting was going to take place again at the rec center in Marion. You know, the old rec center used to be the freshman building downtown. It's down there by the Church of the Nazarene. And somebody had asked if that was going to happen again. And somebody from the Board of Elections stood up and said they don't know. They've tried to contact the Marion City Schools, who I believe leased that building, and they have not come to any kind of conclusion on that as of yet, but they're going to work on it in the next week. So, off of that, a little morsel kind of dropped out last night, and again, this is just how I interpreted it, but I'm pretty sure this is accurate, from the meeting that I attended last night, that the Veterans Memorial Coliseum, and I'm not sure how long we've been voting at the Veterans Memorial Coliseum if you live in the city of Marion. I know a lot of polling places are there. But in any event, a lot of people vote at Vets Memorial Coliseum. Let's put it that way. In any event, it has been a polling place for many, many years, probably the biggest polling place in the city of Marion. Well, come to find out last night, with less than 60 days left to go till the election, the Vets Memorial Coliseum is not going to be a polling place again this year. So, if you vote at the Coliseum on the fairgrounds, that is not going to be happening again this year. Apparently, there was an issue with security. Now, I don't know if the security was tested, but what I heard last night in the opening in the open meeting was that too many people have keys to that building and there are too many entrances to that building for the Board of Elections to properly secure it. So they are looking at other options for voting day, election day. Now, at this point, I don't think they have found those other polling places, which is why they have not probably told anybody that they are not going to be using the Coliseum again this year. Now, my question was, with less than 60 days to go, I think they are going to do a mailer and tell people that it's not going to be used anymore, but they have to know where the new polling places are before they send that mailer out. And if you don't get it in the mail or you don't know what it is, do you still show up at the Coliseum that day to vote? You know, voting only happens one day, and if you're coming from work at 5 o'clock and you don't know that it's been changed from the Veterans Memorial Coliseum, or you don't know where it's been changed to, that could be a big problem, and that might affect voter turnout in the city to quite a degree. But as of last night in that open meeting, there was a representative from the Board of Elections saying that the Veterans Memorial Coliseum was not going to be used anymore as a polling place. Now, does anybody have anything to say about that? I bet people listening vote at the Vets Memorial Coliseum and probably have for years. 740-751-4038. That's 740-751-4038. The phone lines are open, and you're hearing this first this morning. I don't believe this has been in the newspaper. I don't believe it's been on social media anywhere. I believe this is the first time that, it seemed like it was the first time that City Council had heard about this. And it's the Board of Elections that is choosing not to use the Vets Memorial Coliseum anymore because of security issues. So this could be a mess just because of the time frame. I mean, it is September the 12th, and we vote on November the 7th. So it's less than 60 days at this point. So that's the first bit of news. Now, I do want to say I was so impressed with Matt Morgan. Matt Morgan had never been to a city council meeting. And he wanted to go last night, so I went with him. And I'm glad I went for this little bit of information. But I like a go-getter. And Matt is a go-getter. And God bless him, he wanted to go, and he showed up early. And he was looking at all the equipment, and he paid attention, and he had questions about everything that was going on. So when people say that the kids this generation are maybe not what they used to be, there are still kids who are what they used to be, and Matt is a good example of that. Now, having said all of that, both mayoral candidates were there last night. Bill Collins and Glenn Coble. Now, we've heard from Glenn, not in recent weeks on this station, but we certainly have heard from Glenn, and I think we heard from Bill one time. I think I interviewed him back in January, but they both were there last night, and since I was there, and since I had the portable recorder, I thought, well, you know, I've got them on the spot. Let's talk about all the news, because there's been a lot of news since I've talked to Ben. Bill and Glenn. I believe, again, Bill was January, and Glenn has been probably a month or two. Questions about the polling place change, not using Vets Memorial Coliseum anymore, the mayor pay raise, which would affect both of them, or whoever's going to be elected in November. Certainly the voter turnout in November because of abortion and recreational marijuana being on the ballot. Glenn Coble had made an assertion on his website that his signs are being stolen and that possibly friends of Bill Collins or people involved in the Collins campaign were doing that. So, since I was there last night, not that they wanted to talk to me. Well, Glenn, let's just say this. Not that they wanted to talk to me, but I did shove the microphone in their face and got interviews with both of them, not long interviews, but interviews answering, hopefully, the questions you want to know about last night at City Council. So let's start with the Bill Collins interview, and then we'll play the Glenn Coble interview. And if you have any feedback on either one of these things, you can let me go now, or let me know here after the interviews play. Now, remember, this happened after we all found out that Vets Memorial Coliseum was not going to be a polling place this coming November, one of the biggest and longest polling places in Marion. And both candidates did have something to say about that. So let's start out with the Republican candidate for mayor this coming November, Bill Collins.
Scott Spears here, WGH Talk, after the city council meeting, chatting with Republican candidate for mayor, Bill Collins. Bill, an interesting news tonight here at the city council meeting. One of the biggest polling places in the city, the Vets Memorial Coliseum, will not be used this coming November per the Board of Elections. Do you think that might impact the turnout on Election Day with this news coming about with less than 60 days till the election?
I really don't know that. I think people will figure out where they need to vote. People that are interested in voting certainly will find out. And I think the Board of Elections will do a good job in advertising where the polling locations are. So that'll be up to the candidates, too, to get that information out. You know, if you want somebody to come and vote, whether it's for you or your opponent, you got to make sure they know where to vote at.
A lot of social issues on the agenda this coming November, the abortion issue, the recreational use of marijuana will be on the ballot. Do you think this will cause voter turnout to be larger than normally it would be in this off-year election?
I think you could probably look at August election as a good indicator. I think we'll probably be right around that number that we had in August, would be my guess, but I'm not an expert, so who knows.
The proposed pay raise for the mayor has been the talk in the city. city for quite a few weeks here, moving it up from 2028 to 2024. What is your feeling on the pay raise from $69,000 to $110,000?
I don't have a feeling. That's not my issue to deal with. They've been dealing with it on council. They've put it off to December 11th. I think they do need to make some adjustments for everybody, but we'll have to wait and see what they do. I don't know, Scott.
On my program, Councilman Jason Schauber made an assertion that the votes were there to do it, and that the reason it would be done would be to give their buddy a pay raise. That's what he said. Paraphrasing.
You heard it,
so you know what he said. What do you make of that comment? The buddy being, I assume, you.
Yeah. You know, absolutely. I had absolutely no discussion with any council people about any pay raises. When that was brought up at council, it was just as much a surprise to me as it was anybody. So for him to say that, I think he just might be a little misinformed on that part of it. I'm not even elected yet. I have no input in what's going on up there any more than a normal citizen out here does.
Now, interestingly enough, the mayor did say he would be interested in vetoing that if it did pass. What's your feeling on a possible veto?
You know, I've seen the mayor do it before, and it's got overridden before to the tune of $3 million to build an aquatic center. So we're still not paid that off yet. So that's certainly the mayor's prerogative, and, you know, if he chooses to do that, that's up to him for sure.
Two quick questions. Is $110,000 too much for the mayor of Marion to make?
You know, Scott, I'll tell you to do your homework. Go look at, I've looked at all the other cities around Marion. If you go look at what cities our size, what a mayor makes, I don't think it's out of line with that. But again, it's not for me to decide that. So I'm going to leave it up to council.
The other question, there was an assertion made by your opponent, Glenn Coble, on the Democratic side that some of his yard signs were being taken by people who were trying to help you out. Do you believe that's true, and would you call on them to stop if you believe that's true?
I think you know the answer to that. The only Glenn Coble signs I've seen have either been where he has not had permission to put them, or they've been in the city right away. And we just got a letter from the city tonight, all candidates did, about putting signs in the right of way, and they'll be removed. So, none of my people is me and my wife. We go out, put the signs up, and nobody goes out and puts mine up for me, so I make sure they get to be where they're supposed to be.
Final question, and I do appreciate the time. When assertions are made like this by Councilman Schauber or Glenn Coble, what do you chalk that up to?
I just chalk it up to politics, I guess. Things like that come out. It's like back during the primary election, Sue McGowan, you know, she said stuff too. People say stuff. I let the record speak for itself. Thank you.
Thank you. Bill Collins.
Bill Collins, last night at City Council, the Republican candidate for mayor. And now, equal time, Glenn Coble, last night at Council, in an exclusive interview, speaking on a lot of the same issues, the Democratic candidate for mayor.
Hey, Scott Spears here, WGH Talk, after the City Council meeting with Democratic candidate for mayor, Glenn Coble. Now, Glenn, right off the bat, we found out something interesting tonight in the council meeting, that one of the biggest polling places in the city, the Vets Memorial Coliseum, will not be used this coming November. Now, that's with less than 60 days to go to the election, and I don't think the general public knows anything about this. Is this going to affect voter turnout?
Well, they do now that you're telling them. I was disappointed. I hadn't known that was in the offing. Not that I would, because I'm not on the city council, but that's disappointing. But did you hear what they charge per day on the? I mean, I understand why they're doing it. It's a cost savings to the city, to the citizens of Marion, and I think I go along with what they're doing. But it's a shame that we can't use that location.
But with under 60 days to go, is this going to affect voter turnout for people who are going to turn up at the Coliseum and say, where do I vote?
Let's hope not. And if they need a ride to wherever they're going, give me a call. I'll be glad to come pick you up.
You know, Glenn, you've made some statements on Facebook, social media, in regard to your signs being taken down. Now, we had just asked Bill Collins about that moments ago, and he said that he and his wife are the ones putting up the signs. That is his entire campaign, and they have not taken down any of your signs.
I didn't think he did. No.
Yeah. Well, or his people, because he said his people are he and his wife.
Well, yeah, I didn't think, I was absolutely certain that he wasn't doing it. It's obviously somebody that doesn't like me. It was just unusual that when I ran for two other positions, I only lost three or four signs, and now I've lost about 20. I haven't lost them because I find them laying in the dirt, and I put them back up. But I've lost several of them. They're kind of expensive, and I don't know who's doing it. I would like my opponent to tell his friends, I guess, because somebody is not very happy. And I know the place I lost him before was anywhere near Chateau Ridge. And it's a pretty Republican area, and they don't like my signs being up, even if they are in the easement legally. But it's just frustrating. That's all. When you, I'm on Social Security. I don't have a lot of money. I don't have pensions from the city like my opponent does. And I just don't have the money to pay for all these signs. So it was getting frustrating. But I was just told just a few minutes ago by, I'll leave your name out of it, a young lady who is the caretaker for an area where I put a sign. And she said, I had to pull your sign up. I was told by my owner that I had to pull the sign up, so I'm going to get that one back.
Is this a bad sign? People are saying pull the sign up.
I don't think people are saying that. I think that's just I just think it's a couple of people that just got to be in their bonnet about me. I don't know why, but...
Well, as we head into November, an interesting question is going to be, we talked about the Vets Memorial changing, not being a polling place, which could affect voter turnout in the city. We don't know. I guess we'll all find out. But one thing we do know for sure is that abortion and recreational marijuana will be on the ballot in what is an off-year election and would normally have low voter turnout, even in a high year. Are you expecting voter turnout to be rather large? And do you think this will benefit you, as most people feel those are Democrat-liberal issues, abortion, legalization of abortion in Ohio and recreational marijuana usage?
I think those are issues that most of the Democrats that I know of will be on the side of. I'm not sure that we're going to have a huge turnout, but I think it'll be a little bit larger than the average. I think that both of those subjects they're not like near and dear to me. But they are the type of subject that I will be more in favor of than my opponent. And I think we have to talk about things like that. I'm not positive that I'm totally for either one of those things. Let me tell you how I told my daughter when we were talking about abortion. She wasn't looking to get one. She just wanted to know how I felt about it. And I said, honey, if you got pregnant and you couldn't bring a baby into the world because of finance or illness or anything like that, grandpa and grandma will take care of the baby. If that doesn't work, then I will be behind you on whatever you do. And that's kind of the position I feel. A gentleman...
Recreational marijuana?
Oh, the marijuana. Well, I did a little marijuana when I was younger. I'm admitting it, not like Mr. Clinton.
You did inhale.
I did inhale. I enjoyed it. I was an actor. It was kind of part of growing up as an actor. But I'm not, much like in alcohol. I'm not a huge proponent of going out every night and drinking a six-pack of beer either. So I think moderation is the way to handle that. But yes, I will be voting for the marijuana bill.
Okay, now let's talk about the pay raise. That's the big issue here. It's been pushed off to December. Mm-hmm. I believe December 11th is the date that's been set for that. The pay raise would take the mayor's salary, which is currently $69,000, to $69,000 and some change, I believe, at this point. It would take it up to $110,000 starting in January of 2024. Now, what do you make of this?
I think that's way more than it needs to be. And if I am selected as the mayor of Marion, I will ask them to not give me that raise or even take half of that. And we'll find a way to use that extra money to help Marion out.
Now, just to make this clear, half of the $69,000 or half of the $110,000, which has not been voted upon yet.
Well, I'm kind of up in the air about that, but yeah, I would take far less than what they're paying them right now, just because I'm doing it because I am trying to improve the quality of Marion life. I'm not doing it so I can get rich. My opponent has more money, obviously, than I do. All you have to do is look at the number of signs he has. Well, he's got more income than I do, so he can afford to do whatever he wants to do.
Well, let me just say, we just spoke with Bill Collins moments ago, and the listeners will hear this. We asked him about the pay raise, and basically he said, told us to do our homework. What do mayors, the size of city that Marion is, make? When I asked him if $110,000 was too much money, and he said it's not up to him to decide the salary. So basically, that was his answer.
Yeah, I agree with that. I think it has to stay. The city council determines that. And if they determine it's going to be 110 or 120 or whatever they determine, that's probably what it'll be. I'm just saying that I will take far less than that. And I don't like the idea of jumping the mayor's salary. What would that be? $50,000?
$40,000. Now, also, we did ask Bill Collins, because Jason Schauber, councilman, 3rd Ward, was on my program recently, and he said the only reason this has been moved up 4 years, the initial pay raise was scheduled for 2028, mm-hmm. is because the people who have the votes want to give their buddy a pay raise because they think he's got this mayoral election locked up. And the buddy was referred to as Bill Collins. I asked Bill about that moments ago. He said he believes Mr. Schauber is misinformed, to put it in a paraphrase way. What do you think?
I think your friends who told you that are right. I think people do think that Mr. Collins has it wrapped up. And I'm trying hard to show people why not.
But you think they're giving him this pay raise because they think he's got it, and that's why they're voting it in?
I can't read into people's minds. As a matter of fact, I believe Mr. Schauber was the one that brought it up initially, and then he backed it out. He changed his mind on it. I think that shows good sign of thought. If you think through a situation, you realize you're wrong, and you back it up by changing it back, I think that shows good management. But I don't think anybody would do it just as a – I mean, I wouldn't do it just – to pay somebody off for being a friend.
What? But do you think that's what's happening?
Like I said, I can't read into people's minds.
Mayor Schertzer has said he does believe that they have the votes to pass this pay raise. He has not ruled out vetoing it if it passes. Do you think he will? And should he?
I think he should. I doubt that he will. He's basically a lame duck mayor right now on his way out, so why should he raise, you know, the waves, make the waves fly? I don't think he will.
Well, it does matter, because the vote will come up, and I think people should know this before they vote for mayor, and we're not going to know if the pay raise is going to go through till December anyway. So when people vote in December, you're saying, and if I'm wrong here, tell me, you're saying that if elected in November, you will take less than the $69,000 the mayor is making already. Regardless of if the pay raise passes, you will take less money than that, or you will give it away. Is that what I understand?
Well, let's just say I'm not going to take more than what the pay salary is right now. I think it's an adequate amount. I'm not going into trying to be the mayor for that. If I needed money, I'd do something else. I think we need to make Marion better. We need to make Marion smarter. We need to make Marion more beautiful. We need to make Marion more inclusive. And we're struggling. I think our current mayor has done a great job of many of those things, but I think we need to continue his good efforts and the city council's good efforts. They've helped out quite a bit, I believe.
So at this point, even if the pay raise was voted in, you would still take 69,000. Is that right? Because I think people want to know where the money is going to go, because this is a city that has lost its bond rating. This is a city that's trying to raise salaries, law director, auditor, and mayor. The mayor, $40,000 a pay raise. So you're saying you would take 69,000 or less. Is that right?
Yeah, and I'm leaving it real vague because I don't know how we would do that, how we manage the salary or the taxes, and how we would get that money to where it needs to go. So let's just say I'm very comfortable with $69,000, and that's all I expect to take out of this. And if I can find a way to make it less than that so that the city pays less, I'll do that, even if it requires maybe paying extra help to help the mayor's office out or to help the city council out. You know, maybe bringing in some student aides, and we can pay them, you know, $1,000 a month or something like that.
There's three questions here I want to hit. Number one, there has been question that a lot of the people who are working with the mayor would not, their jobs would not be safe if Bill Collins became mayor. One of those possibly Kathy Chafin, in a position that I believe was created in recent years for her. Would you keep somebody like Kathy Chafin on?
Absolutely.
Okay. Now, no long answer there. The mayor has not endorsed you yet. We're under 60 days. He is the Democrat. You are the Democrat. Have you asked him for his endorsement, and do you want it?
I don't think I've walked up to him and said, will you give me your endorsement? I assume that if he wants to give me his endorsement, he will. At one point, he told me when he felt that I was really working to get the position, he would help me out. Apparently, I haven't convinced him yet, but he's got a lot of things to do. I don't think it's absolutely imperative that I get his endorsement. I'd love to have it, but, you know, Mary Ellen Withrow is the first donor to my campaign. That's all the endorsement I need.
Do you think you'll get it with 60 days left, less than 60 days?
I think I will if I start to show some real movement. I have a committee right now, and we're working hard to get some real movement going.
Final question here, and I think it's an important question for a lot of people. We've talked about age. People are talking about age on the national level right now. You're 77 years old. If you are elected at the end of your first term, you'll be 81. Term limits are a big conversation in Congress right now. The Senate, Mitch McConnell, the issues he's having nationally with his memory. Who knows what's going on there? And also President Biden has been questioned about this. Dianne Feinstein has been questioned about this. So the question is, the last two mayors of Marion have each served 16 years apiece. Are you one and done, 81 and out? We've discussed it, and you said, I don't know. Do you have an answer with less than 60 days to go?
I'm leaning closer to yes, one and done. If I get there, you know, and we're done, and they need somebody that knows what they're doing, by then, surely I will. But if Marion needs me, I will stay on. But I don't intend to stay past one term.
Do you think that if you went out today with less than 60 days to go, and as you've said, you feel you're the underdog here, and the people are confident that he's got more money in his campaign, so on and so forth. If you went out and said, listen, elect me, and I'm staying 4 years, period. This is my age. This is my stage in life. 4 years, one and done, no matter what, and then you can decide who you want. Do you think that would help you?
It might, and that's basically what I'm saying, except if I find that we're getting somebody to run against me or whoever is going to be running, then that I really don't trust. And if the Democratic Party brings on somebody that I really don't trust, I'll have a hard time backing away. But I'd say probably 99%. Yes, I will. One and done.
One and done. 99%. The only way would be if it was somebody you didn't trust running on the Democratic side in
either side. I mean, if both of them are people I don't trust. I have voted for a Republican, by the way.
All right. Glenn Kobel, we're heading into the election. And by the way, we can make this announcement tonight during our election coverage. Pastor Craig will be at Republican headquarters. Linda Sims will be at Democratic headquarters. Matt Morgan will be at the Board of Elections. I will be in studio with Sean Kraft. And Glenn Kobel will be in studio with us that night.
Win or lose.
Well, you're going to be there with us, and it's going to be great. And it's going to be a big night here for WGH Talk, starting at 7:15 p.m. on election night. So don't you dare miss it. Glenn Coble will be there. You'll be there 15 minutes before the polls close, and that'll be exciting to watch your face when those polls close and the returns come in. I don't believe this has ever been done, that a candidate for mayor has been in a broadcast studio during the returns coming in. So they'll find out in real time if you'll be mayor or not. That's fascinating.
That doesn't sound real encouraging for me. I'm not
sure. It could be positive.
Could be wonderful, but it could also be horrible. But I'm going to be there just because I believe in peaceful transference of power. Yeah.
Glenn Coble, the Democratic candidate for mayor. For this day, Scott Spears heading for the dugout. All right, 58 minutes past the hour. That's Glenn Coble, your Democratic candidate for mayor. And prior to that, your Republican candidate for mayor, Bill Collins. Last night's city council meeting, if they shall not come to you, I will go to them to get the answers for you that you need. And I thank Matt Morgan for showing up last night to help me in that endeavor. Well, there's a lot of information there. Anything anybody wants to say? We're at 58 minutes. We're going to come back 58 minutes past the hour. We're going to come back and talk more about this on the other side. But does anybody have anything to say really quick here? 740-751-4038. That's 740-751-4038. I tell you, our election night coverage is going to be second to none on election night. Starting at 7:15, like we always do, Pastor Craig will be at Republican headquarters. Linda Sims will be at Democratic headquarters. Matt Morgan will be at the Board of Elections. Sean Kraft, Carrington Nelson will be in studio with Glenn Coble. A mayoral candidate getting the results live in studio as it happens. I don't think that's ever happened before. Well, we asked both of them about yard signs. We asked both of them about pay raises for the mayor. We asked both of them about the voter turnout, the loss of the Vets Memorial Coliseum as a voting place this coming November. Is that going to confuse people? It's hard to tell. It is hard to tell. Well, we've only got 30 seconds before the top of the hour, so stay tuned. We're going to come back, talk much more about this on the other side, so don't you dare go away. We're going to talk about this whole hullabaloo of what you just heard. The Democratic candidate, Glenn Coble, Republican candidate, Bill Collins, for mayor from last night's city council meeting. Back in 15.
You're listening to The Talking Place. The legendary star of The Facts of Life, Charlotte Ray, Mrs. Garrett.
How much of Mrs. Garrett is in Charlotte Ray?
I'm not, you know, they made Mrs. Garrett perfect, which was ridiculous, as I wrote in the book. I mean, they never let me yell at the kids or anything.